Okay, so we're going to, tonight we're going to Mirtz Hashem be starting and finishing Melechas Topher. Topher is going to be a one-week Melacha. And then next week we move over to Melechas Tzad. Tzad's going to make up for Topher. Tzad's going to have a lot of fun stuff. We're going to get into the Sugi of Tchelas, whether you should be wearing Tchelas nowadays. A lot of cool stuff is going to come up in Tzad. So that'll make up for the sparsity of Topher. Okay. So Topher is the malacha of sewing. The Mishnah on Daf and Gimel on Aleph presents the av malacha of Topher as a Topher shtei tefiros. If you sew two stitches, that is the av malacha of Topher. Where did malachas Topher take place in the Mishkan? We know all of our malachas are rooted in the Mishkan. Where in the Mishkan do we have sewing? So the truth of the matter is it's not 100% clear. What is clear is that it took place with regard to the Urios. The Urios were the cloth coverings that covered the Mishkan. Somewhere in the manufacture or the maintenance of the Urios, there's a need for sewing. There's a little bit of debate where exactly it took place in the manufacture of the Urios, but for our purposes, it's not necessary, so we're not going to get into that. But it took place with regard to the Urios. Fine. So that's the start off of Melechas Topher. Now, the big issue that we're going to be discussing tonight is to figure out what is the underlying yisod of Melechas Topher, what we call the productive quality. All the melachos we always emphasize have their own productive quality, which governs where the different melachos apply. And we need to figure out what is the underlying productive quality of sewing, which is going to govern where this melacha applies in its original form. So it's a very much non-halacha l'maisa melacha. No one really sews probably during the week, let alone on Shabbos. But as we see, if we figure out the yisod of Topher, so it's very much going to be applicable in very halach l'maisa situations. So that's the agenda for tonight. Now, we can just start out by mentioning that the Rambam gives us our first example of Topher. He tells us that if a person would glue together, paste together different pieces of paper, different pieces of leather, so that's going to be an application of Topher. So we're already getting a feel from the Rambam where Topher is going to be applying. Some type of connecting different items is going to be some type, you know, the basic concept of Topher. So gluing together different items fits under Topher, but we still want to try to figure out a more precise definition of what Topher is all about. Where exactly does this malacha apply? So to figure this out, we're going to have to go straight to the poskim. There are barely any gemaras at all on malachas Topher. There are literally like two or three one-liners. We're going to do one of them, but there's practically no gemara on Topher. So we have to go straight to the achronim to figure out what Topher is all about. So that's where we're going to be headed. So the shaila that we're going to be focusing on now for the first part of tonight's chabura is the issue of using pins on Shabbos. The post can raise the shaila, what is the halachic perspective in terms of using pins on Shabbos? You want to pin together a garment, different garments, let's say, or different items. So is that mutter, is that asr? What's the halachic perspective? Is it, you know, the issue being malachas Topher? Conceivably, it would fit under malachas Topher. So does not fit under malachas Topher? That's the issue we're going to be discussing. So the issue of using pins is going to begin with a Karban Asanel. Karban Asanel is a commentator on the Rush, and he makes a certain observation in a Gemara, which sparks the discussion of using pins on Shabbos. So it begins with a Gemara on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. There's a one-liner on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis in discussing Melechas Topher, and thankfully the Gemara has enough in that one line to let us have a discussion about using pins on Shabbos. The Gemara there raises the following question. As we pointed out, the av malach of Topher is sewing two stitches. That's the paradigm of malachas Topher, sewing two stitches. And the Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis is bothered by the following question. There's a general principle when it comes to the malachas on Shabbos that they need to be done in a long-lasting, permanent manner. When the malachas are done, they need to be miskayim, they need to be long-lasting. If they're done in a temporary way, so they're not going to be chayav on Shabbos. This is rooted in the need for productivity. The Isra Malacha is all about productivity. And if you do a Malacha and it's only going to last for a little bit, so there's a deficiency in the productivity, it's not going to be chayav on Shabbos. So the Gemara is bothered. Why are you telling me that sewing two stitches is a violation of Malacha Topher? And not only is it a violation of Topher, it's the Av Malacha of Topher, when that is not going to last. Two stitches are not going to hold in place. You yank the shirt a little bit, you yank whatever is sewn together a little bit, it's going to unravel, become undone. How is this subject to Melechas Topher? It is not a Dover HaMizkayim. That is the kasha of the Gemara on the Mishnah's presentation of Topher. So the Gemara gives the following answer. It says that you're right. If you just sew two stitches, that is not going to violate Malachas Topher on a Deraisa level. The case where you violate Topher Midaraisa has to be where after sewing two stitches, you tie the ends of the threads. By tying the ends of the threads, that's going to hold the stitches in place. Then you have a lasting malacha, which would be chayav for tover. But in a chanami, if you only just sew two stitches without tying the ends of the threads, it's not going to hold in place. That's not going to violate malachas tover. So that's the entire Gemara that we have on tover. A one-liner here on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, question and answer. What is the exact case of sewing two stitches? Comes along the Korban Nisanal, and he makes the following observation on this Gemara. The Korban Nisanal is a commentator on the Rush, and he's an Achron, and he makes the following observation in this Gemara. It's based on a Rashi, which we're not going to spell out. He says that this Gemara is telling us that sewing two stitches is only going to be a violation of Topher on a Deraisa level if you tie the ends of the threads. You tie the ends of the threads, that's going to be Topher Mideraisa. But says the Korban Nisanal, based on a certain Diak in Rashi, that if you sew two stitches and you don't tie the ends of the threads, it's still going to be Asur Midirabana. It's true that two stitches are not going to hold in place, not Asur Deraisa, but still sewing two stitches still has the basic format of a tofer, of a tfira, and therefore it will be Asur Midirabana. That is the comment of the Korban Nisanal on this Gemara, which he says based on a certain Diak in Rashi. And based on this comment, the Korban Nisanal had a problem with a certain practice that existed in his generation. He writes that in his door, it was apparently the practice of people to pin together different garments. They would pin together garments on Shabbos. Says the Korban Nisanal, I don't understand how this is permissible in light of this Diak in Rashi. Because we see from Rashi that sewing two stitches, you know, this Gemara is explained by Rashi, that sewing two stitches that are not going to hold in place is still Asur Midirabanan. It's not there, Isa, but it's Asur Midirabanan. So when you pin together different garments, although it's not going to hold in place perhaps in a permanent way, but nonetheless, it should still be Asur Midirabanan. It's no worse than sewing two stitches. And therefore, I don't understand the practice that's taking place in my generation. That is the comment of the Korban Nisanal. And the big question becomes, so he's bringing up the issue of using pins on Shabbos. The big shaila that comes up in the postgame is, what was the exact maskana of the Korban Nisanal? What is his exact conclusion in terms of the issue of using pins on Shabbos? And how is that going to apply in a contemporary way? So that's the issue that comes up in the postgame. So there are two basic approaches in the postgame how to understand what was the exact maskana of the Korban Nisanal when he's issuing this complaint on the people in his generation that are pinning together different garments. What was his exact conclusion on this issue? This is going to be a machlokus between the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa and Rav Nevinson on the one hand versus Rav Moshe on the other hand. So let's go through the two approaches in the postgame. Starting with the shita of the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa and Rav Nevinson. So they both bring down Achronim, who take a very simple, straightforward read of this Korban Nisanal. They explain that the Korban Nisanal is telling us that it is usher to use pins on Shabbos, that there's an Isser, at least an Isser Derabanan, to use pins on Shabbos. That's why he's complaining against the people in his generation. A very straightforward way of reading the Korban Nisanal. And based on working with this approach in the Korban Nisanal, Rav Nevinson actually takes this one step further. Says Rav Nevinson that the Korban Nisanal is only arguing that there's an Isser Derabanan because it's not going to hold them in place. Just like sewing two stitches without tying the ends of the threads is going to unravel. It's not going to hold them in place. So too, slipping a pin, you know, through a garment and attaching two garments together, let's say, is not going to hold in place in a long-lasting way. So it's going to be Isser Derabanan. Says Rav Nevinson, that's true when you have a straight needle. If you have a straight needle and you slip it through two garments to attach them, so that would be perhaps, arguably, it's not going to be long-lasting, that would be derabanan. But says Rav Nevinson, using a safety pin already should be deraisa, because a safety pin, when you fasten the pin in that mechanism, so that's going to hold it in place, that already should be the equivalent of tying the ends of the two threads. That should be usher deraisa. So this is all the first approach in the post, how to learn the shita of the Korban Nisanal. What was his conclusion when he issued this complaint on the people using pins in his generation? The straightforward approach to Shmir Shabbos and Rav Nevinson that he's ushering the use of pins on Shabbos, a straight needle will be usher midirabanan. A safety pin, says Rav Nevinson, is going to be usher deraisa because that's going to hold in place just like tying the two ends of the threads. So that is shita number one. Dov. So Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. So I'll be honest. This is a machlokus how to learn the Korban Nisanel himself. I'm not saying how they're paskening themselves. You know, there are going to be more shitas. So it could be at the end of the day, like Bidyavid, he's matir the use of safety pins based on alternative poskim. But in the Korban Nisanel himself, he just brings down Achron who say the pins are usr. He doesn't clarify. But if Naman Sal spells the cheshbon out, the safety pin should be usr deraisa. Rav Navinzal, it's we're gonna end up being matir safety pins probably, but let's go through the motions. Fine. So that's all approach number one. Approach number two is the approach of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, I put in the Mar Makomos in Igros Moshe, and Rav Moshe has a different perspective on the issue of pins on Shabbos. In the Igros Moshe, in that tshuva, Rav Moshe was asked two shilas. Shaila number one that Rav Moshe was asked was in terms of the permissibility of using diaper pins on Shabbos. What are diaper pins? So before Huggies and Loves came along, there was this thing called a cloth diaper. And the way it works is that you put the child in a cloth diaper and you hold it in place with a diaper pin, a type of safety pin. And when it would get soiled, so you take it off and you wash it and you save a lot of money on having to rebuy new diapers each time regularly. Fine. So that's the sort of a diaper pin. So the first shaila that was posed to Rav Moshe was whether diaper pins are permissible to be used on Shabbos. That was shaila number one. Shaila number two that was asked to Rav Moshe was what's the halacha in terms of ornament pins? If ladies want to put an ornament pin on their garment, I guess it can be men also, but the shaila's ladies, he's talking about an ornament pin on their garment. So what's the halacha with regard to those types of pins on Shabbos? That's the issue that he's coming to address. So Rav Moshe starts off his tshuva by saying that he thinks that pins are perfectly permissible. That there's no issue with using pins on Shabbos. Why are pins permissible? So we're going to hold off till we get to the lumdis. He's going to give a certain lumdis for why he feels that pins are permissible. But right now, we're just getting the facts in the sugya before we get to the conceptual analysis. But factually, he says Rav Moshe, he feels like pins are going to be perfectly permissible. And as he progresses to the tshuva, so he raises the issue of the Korban Nisanel. But what are we going to do with the Korban Nisanel? The Korban Nisanel is raising this issue with his generation. How are these people pinning together these different garments, you know, seemingly saying that pins are problematic? How does that fit with Rav Moshe's intuition that pins should be permissible on Shabbos? So Rav Moshe makes two points in trying to reconcile the Korban Nisanel's seeming prohibition of pins with Rav Moshe's intuition that pins should be permissible. Point number one of Rav Moshe, he says that if you take a careful look at the Korban Nisanel, he never actually says explicitly the pins are prohibited. All he's doing is questioning the practice in his generation. He was questioning, how could it be that people would act in this manner? Why is it not a problem of tofer? If you sew two stitches, there's at least an issa derabanan. Why is it not a problem of tofer? He's questioning the practice that's taking place, but he doesn't explicitly say that it's prohibited. And Lemaskan, in his heart of hearts, he would admit that it's permitted. He's just questioning why it is permitted. That's the first point that Rav Moshe makes in fitting the Korban Nisanel into his approach. And so other achronim that are going along the same lines, you know, to dramatize the point, they say that the Korban Nisanel, who lived quite some time ago, they were great gedolim and, you know, tremendous talmid chacham that lived in his generation. If no one else was issuing a protest against this practice, so we can presume that they were okay with this practice and they're giving their haskama to this practice. That's all point number one of Rav Moshe, that really Korban Nisanel doesn't really say lemaskan. He's just questioning the practice, but he would admit that it's really permissible. Point number two of Rav Moshe is like this. Says Rav Moshe that even if I'll have to admit, even if you want to argue that the Korban Nisanel is prohibiting the use of pins on Shabbos, but I'm going to limit that to a very specific situation. And that is in a case where the pins have an appearance of permanence, where it looks like it's being making a permanent connection between the different garments. So in that situation, I'll say the pins are prohibited. The Korban Nisanel was talking about a case where the pins were connecting the garments in a way where they looked like it was creating a permanent connection. And in that case, maybe I'll admit that there's an issue, at least mid the Rabbanan. But when it comes to pins that are clearly only temporary in nature, then they're going to be permitted. So those are the two points of Rav Moshe for why really pins should not be a problem, how to fit the Korban Nisanel into his intuition. Point number one, Korban Nisanel never really said it. He was just questioning it, but Lamaskani, he would admit that it's permitted. Point number two, even if he is answering it, it's only with a special type of pin that looks like it's in a permanent way. But in a scenario where it's clearly only temporary in nature, it would be permitted. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, at the end of tshuva, Rav Moshe paskens like this. He says that when it comes to diaper pins, that is going to be perfectly permissible because diaper pins are clearly only temporary in nature. When you put the pin onto the diaper, onto the cloth diaper, you're clearly only leaving it there on a temporary basis. You're going to take it off to check the diaper. You're going to take it off and the diaper gets soiled. That's only temporary. It appears temporary. That's perfectly permissible. Lecharchila. But says Rav Moshe, when it comes to the ornament pins of the ladies, so then he says there could be room to be machmir based on the carbon asanal, that these pins apparently have more of an appearance of permanence to it. It's more of a seamless connection. The pin just slips on nicely and it could be left there indefinitely, conceivably. And so therefore, says Rav Moshe, there's room to be machmir. But if ladies are mekel, one should not protest because me'ikar din is perfectly permissible. So then that is Rav Moshe's approach to the use of pins on Shabbos. So taking a step back now, we're raising an issue about the permissibility of using pins on Shabbos. Ultimately, we're trying to figure out what's the yisod of melachas tofer. So we're jumping into the contemporary shaila comes up the poskim about using pins on Shabbos. We have the Korban Istanel telling us that pins are a problem. He's questioning this practice in his generation. He's medayik from the Gemara that two stitches, even if they're temporary in nature, are still asher b'derabanan. So pins should be at least asher b'derabanan. But we had two approaches in the post. Moses' exact maskana. The first approach is the straightforward approach of the Shemir Shabbos and Rav Nevensal, that he's ostering pins, the maskana. And Rav Nevensal says safety pins would even be also their isa. The second approach is the approach of Rav Moshe, that really make it in all pins are permissible. Korban Istanel never really said it, the maskana. And even if we'll have a little bit of a chumrah, it's only pins that have a permanent appearance. Like these women's ornament pins, those have more of a permanent appearance. In that case, maybe there'll be an issa d'rabbanan, but diaper pins, anything that's clearly only temporary in nature, that's not left there on a permanent basis, would be permissible. Okay, any questions before we go on? Dove. Danny, 1 second, I see you. Dove?
Yeah.
So based on that, someone had a cup comes out, comes off.
Dove is asking, that according to Rav Moshe, what would we say about, let's say somebody's hem or cuff comes off on Shabbos and he wants to just hold it in place temporarily with a safety pin. So according to Rav Moshe, it should come out that that's permissible because that's clearly only temporary nature. It does not have a permanent appearance. So Dov is asking, why is it different than a woman's ornament? So there has to be some type of societal, analysis of what has more of a permanent appearance, what doesn't. I don't really know. I haven't really seen many of these ornaments, but Rav Moshe is telling us that, they have more of a permanent appearance. But the case that Dov is describing, where you're using a safety pin to hem together something that's clearly in the temporary nature, unless the style changes, in which case, I'm not taking a chayas on the style changing, but nowadays, a safety pin wouldn't have a permanent appearance. I'll just go ahead. Danielle.
Just to clarify a point, the Isser Darabanan that the Korban Istanel is pointing out about the sewing not being tied, is that clearly delineated in the Gemara or is that just his?
Oh, good. So Danielle's asking, the Isser Darabanan that the Korban Istanel is proposing, is it clear from the Gemara? So I'll tell you the truth, it's not clear from the Gemara. He makes a diak in Rashi. I'm going to pretend that the reason I didn't spell the Diak and Rashi is because of the fact that we didn't have time. But the real reason is I don't understand the Diak and Rashi. The real truth is I don't understand the Diak and Rashi. But he says it. So, it's not, he's not Rashi. He's an Achron, but he's still an Achron who made it onto the page of the Gemara. So,
right. Because based on that, the whole question falls away.
Based on that, a lot of this unravels. No pun. Right. Pun intended. Fine. Right. Okay. But 100%. 100%. Okay. Yeah. Eitan.
In general,
Eitan is asking, all we have is melachas tofer applying to sewing. How are we applying it to using a pin, let's say, or other types of objects? Other types of objects. So that's actually exactly where we're headed. That's exactly where we need to figure out what is the sort of sewing, with all the melachos. So we have a specific act that took place in the Mishkan. What's the essence of that act? If we figure out the essence of the act, then we can figure out where to apply it. So that's really where we're headed. We're going to try to figure out what's the concept behind sewing to figure out whether it should or should not apply to pins. Yona.
My question is sort of in a similar vein. I was going to ask them, what exactly does tofer mean?
Go ahead.
Because a pin, you could argue, besides for the fact that it's metal, like you said, you know, it's a different material, it's a completely different thing. Besides for that, it's not holding two things together when you're talking about an ornament, especially. An ornament is just there for the, you know, the aesthetic, you know, properties of it. It's not there at all to hold together anything. So it, you think it's completely different than sewing.
Because Yona is also questioning the application of sewing to these, you know, to using pins on Shabbos. Let's get into the lums a little bit, and hopefully that will add more clarity or more confusion. Penny.
The rushes means that the sheer like spheres, two nuts or one nut.
Penny is asking, by Topher, when the Gemara said that you need to tie the ends, how many knots are you making? Penny is trying to set me up for a question of where, what about Malacha's kosher, which I'm not gonna let myself fall for. So we'll discuss that afterwards. Okay, Penny's asking a specific question, which he clearly read the tshuva of Moshe. We'll have to hack that out over zingers. Fine, good question. Fine. Okay, fine. So those are the facts. And so again, the question now becomes, so what's the hesber? What's the conceptual basis for the two approaches as to if and when using pins on Shabbos is prohibited? Okay. So this is now going to force us to get into a more fundamental analysis of what Malachas Topher is all about. In its original form, Topher is about sewing two things together. And the question is, what's the essence of sewing on a conceptual level, which is going to govern where and when this malacha applies? So that's the issue that needs to be addressed right now. So there are two basic approaches that come up in the Achronim, which I put on the Merum Komos, for how to define the essence of Malachas Topher. There's the approach of the Merkavis and Mishnah, and there's the approach of Rav Moshe himself. They each present a different take, a different emphasis on Topher, which is going to have major ramifications l'halacha. So let's go through the two basic approaches. The first approach is the approach of the Merkavis HaMishnah. The Merkavis HaMishnah is understood by many Achronim, including Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Nevensal, but there's a little bit of a hack how to read it, but many Achronim understood the Merkavis HaMishnah to be setting down one approach in Malachas Topher, and that is quite simply that Topher is about connecting two items by using a third connecting agent. When you use a Davar Shlishi, a third connecting agent, to bring together two items, that is the yesod of Malachas Topher. When you sew two things together, so using the needle and thread, you know, call it the thread, to connect the two items being sewn together, that is the yesod of Topher, taking a Davar Shlishi to connect two items together. That is the approach of the Merkavis HaMishnah. The second approach is the approach of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe there in the Tshuva sets down a different emphasis for the yesod of Malachas Topher. Ramosha emphasizes the type of connection that's being produced. He says, Topher is not just about any act of connecting. Topher is about creating a certain special type of connection. It has to be creating a unification. It can't just be where you connect two items, but they're still viewed as being separate items that happen to be connected. Says Ramosha, Topher is about connecting them to the point that they merge into a unified entity. That is the yesod of Topher, says Ramosha. It's about connecting two things to the point that there's emerging together into a unified entity. When you sew two things together, you now have this unified garment, this unified entity, whatever is being created. That is the yesod of Topher, says Rav Moshe. So we have a very simple hakira now, how to understand what is the yesod of Malachas Topher. According to the Merkavis HaMishnah, Topher is about connecting two items with a Davar Shlishi, taking a third connecting agent to bring together two items. So he's more emphasizing how the connection is occurring, using a Davar Shlishi to connect two items. Ramosha has a little bit of a different focus. He's focusing on the type of connection. It has to be such a strong connection. They have to be coming together to the extent that they merge together into a unified item. So let's now take this chakir and plug it into the shaila of using pins on Shabbos. What should we say is the halacha in terms of using pins on Shabbos? And it's going to kind of touch what Yona was saying, just in a little bit of a different way, though. So let's start with the shita of the Merkavis HaMishnah. If we go with a simple definition of the Merkavis HaMishnah, that the definition of Topher is connecting two items with a third connecting agent. So the truth of the matter is that there should be a problem of Topher when it comes to using pins. Lamaisa, when I pin together two items, I'm using this third item to bring together, to connect the two items being connected. That fits this simple definition of the Merkavis HaMishnah. That should be problematic. Now, you could be the issue, bring up the issue of Davar HaMiskayim. It has to be a lasting connection. So if you just use a straight needle and slide it to two items to connect them, if it's not going to hold in place, it might only be Aser Midder Rabbanan. But in principle, this would be an issue of Topher. It'll be at least Aser Midder Rabbanan, And there could be room to bring up an Isser Deraisa by safety pins. Rebbe Zal is saying safety pins are Isser Deraisa, because then you even have a permanent connection. It's a long-lasting connection. It has the capacity to remain in place. You're using this Davar Shlishi to connect the two items. That would be potentially Tofer on a Deraisa level. So that is approach number one, the Shita of the Merkavas and Mishnah. Let's move over now to the second approach, which is the approach of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that what's the sort of Tofer? Tofer is about creating such a strong connection to the extent that they become a unified entity. That's the sort of Tofer, says Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, based on my Yisod, this is why I hold the pins are permissible. Because that's the sort of Tofer, creating a unit, creating a unified entity, that's why I think pins are perfectly permissible, because pins don't create that type of seamless connection. When you sew two things together, it merges them into a single entity. When you slide a pin through two pieces of, you know, through two garments, let's say, it doesn't merge them to become one single entity. They're still viewed as separate entities that are just being held in place. It's more like a placeholder. And so therefore, that's why he feels the pins are permissible. And if you're going to tell me that pins should sometimes be a problem, so that's when I'll say pins are only a problem if it has more of a permanent appearance. If it appears like a more permanent connection, like he's trying to say by the women's ornaments, where it's creating more, you know, it appears like more of a seamless connection. So then maybe there's room for prohibition. But really, Meikar Din says Moshe, pins are perfectly permissible because based on the second idea, it has to be merging together into a unit. So he feels that pins doesn't satisfy that definition, and therefore pins will be permissible. So that's our starting point here in Melechas Tofer. We have a Shaila Poskim as to if and when pins are permissible. We're pointing out that it's coming down to a basic Shaila as to what is the Yisod of Melechas Tofer. Okay. Daniel.
Yeah. This idea of Ramosha about this, about unification, I mean, that appears to be a kind of subjective definition. What we mean is something is unified. Like, okay, I would agree that if you would use glue to glue a popsicle stick onto a piece of paper, yeah, it doesn't look unified, right? But if I have some sort of wallpaper that I glue onto the wall or some other arrangement of something that looks like a seamless entity, right? Despite the fact that it's glued together, that would seem unified, wouldn't it? So where's the line that demarcates?
Okay, so Daniel's asking a question, which is really in line with those questions from before, which is like, you know, when's it called unification? When is it not called unification? We're saying women's pins might be unification. Safety pins might not be unification. Daniel's saying taping on a popsicle stick onto a piece of paper. So it's hard to know. When we say about unification, it's more about the strength of the connection in a certain sense. When you glue it on, the Rambam says paste is considered to be creating a strong connection. So even though, you know, from our perspective, a popsicle stick that's glued to a piece of paper doesn't really have any significance, but when you glue two things together, that's unifying them into creating this new piece of paper, which you can try to sell at Staples if you want to try, of, you know, popsicle stick covered paper. But it's hard to know the line of demarcation. It's a very valid question, 100%. So we'll just have to stick to the case in the postgame. And then as we go through the cases, we'll see if we can get more of a clarity in where it applies. Penny. Can you use a post-it? Penny's asking me to use a post-it. Okay, so let's try and go through more cases to get a better feel for using post-its on Shabbos. But okay, so Yona's saying post-its were designed not to stick well. So let's try to get a better feel for some more cases, and then we'll see if we can discuss post-its if we have time, or at least we'll have the principles. Fine. Okay, so now we're going to discuss two nafkaminas in this machlokes, which are going to help bring out the difference in these two approaches, this chakira, how to define leches tofer, and which will hopefully get us a little bit more of a feel for where this malacha applies. Okay, the first nafkamina, just right off the bat, just make a disclaimer, Daniel's not going to like this, but I'll just point it out anyways, it is on the books. Dov might not like it also, but I don't see Daniel liking this, but Kedark Bakodesh in a good way. But let's just try. And that is like this. The question becomes, if there's ever any issue of Tofer when it comes to using contemporary diapers on Shabbos, disposable diapers on Shabbos, is there ever a problem of Tofer? So everyone's used to the fact that they use diapers on Shabbos, but let's just analyze it from a halachic perspective and see if there maybe could be certain issues that could arise. So the post can point out the Shmir Shabbos Gilchas, and the post can point out that it's permissible to use certainly the contemporary diapers on Shabbos. And one of the main heterim is presented by the Shmir Shabbos is the fact that it's only done on a temporary basis. When you tape the diaper shut on the baby, so it's only done on a temporary basis. It's meant to be undone in a short span of time when the diaper gets soiled. And so therefore, Says Rav Moshe that that's a says Rav Shlomo Zalman that that's a big basis to permit using diapers on Shabbos. It could be we won't rely on that factor by itself, but certainly under important circumstances with added considerations, this is a major heter when you do a tefillah lizman, a temporary act of connection. So that's a major mitigating factor in general, and that's the main reason why diapers are permissible. But the following shaila comes up in the poskim. Let's say, so you put a diaper on a child and the diaper gets soiled. So now you take the diaper off of the child. Is it permissible to wrap up the diaper and tape it on itself before you throw it out? If it's a dirty diaper, so it could be very convenient to just wrap it up and tape it on itself before you throw it out. Would that be a problem on Shabbos? That's the shaila that comes up in the poskim. So the Orech HaShabbos says that this is going to be a problem. This is going to be prohibited because what was the whole heter to use diapers on Shabbos? The fact that it was done on a temporary basis. When you put the diaper onto the child, it's being done on a temporary basis. So therefore, you're planning on taking it off in a few hours, a short span of time. That's why it's permissible. But when you're throwing the diaper out, if you want to wrap it up and tape it on itself before you throw it out, in that situation, it's going to remain in place indefinitely. Assuming the garbage men, I guess, do a normal job with the diapers, it's going to remain in place indefinitely, the garbage dump. And so therefore, you don't have the heter of the Shmir Shabbos, and it's going to be prohibited. So that is the Shita of the Orech HaShabbos, and this seems to be Rav Post can recommend not taping the diaper on itself before it is thrown out. Let's just stop for questions before we continue. Dov.
What are you supposed to
do? So Dov is asking, what should he do? So that's that already becomes Delresh and Eskavin issues. You bring it to the garbage store in the garbage, and after that, it's not going to be a problem. Yeah. No, it's an adhesive. So let's go there. So Penny's already been mechavin to where we're headed. Fine. So that's the Shita Derech HaShabbos, and Rav Poskim seem to not be so into this, into doing that. Comes along Rabbi Ribiat in the back of his sefer. In the back of his sefer, Lamtas Malachos, under Malachos Tofer. So he brings some mechabrim who want to say what Penny just said. He brings some mechabrim who want to try to argue that maybe we can permit this based on using one of our approaches in Malachos Tofer. So let's go through the two approaches in Malachos Tofer and see how they use this to try to be matir this procedure. Starting with our first approach to Malachos Tofer, which was the approach of the Merkavas HaMishnah. Merkavas HaMishnah had said that Tofer is about connecting two different items with a Darvish Shlishi. Using a third connecting agent to connect two different items is Malachos Tofer. That was the Yisod of the Merkavas HaMishnah. Says Rabbi Ribiat that some Mechabrim want to argue, based on Merkavas HaMishnah, this should be permissible. Because what's taking place when you close the diaper? You're connecting the tab to the diaper. Now, it could be argued that in this situation, we don't envision a Davar Shlishi. There's no third connecting agent. Because when the tab is manufactured, the adhesive is manufactured with the tab. We could view that as one big entity. You're then taking this sticky tab and attaching it to the diaper. We don't envision a third connecting agent. And therefore, they want to permit it based on the Merkavas HaMishnah. So he says some poskim wanted to argue that this would be permissible according to the Merkavas HaMishnah. Whereas if we went with Rav Moshe's approach, so there'd be no basis for this heter. What was Rav Moshe's approach? That Tofer is simply about creating a unit, a unification between two items. It doesn't matter whether it's a Davar Shlishi or not. And taping and using an adhesive is certainly considered to be a form of unification. The Rambam already spells that out. If you use a glue to connect two pieces of paper, that's considered to be a unification. So here too as well, it's when I take my tab and attach it to the diaper, this adhesive would be considered to be unifying them. That should be problematic. So this would be an interesting nafkmina in this machlokas. We're pointing out that using diapers is basically typically permissible. Can you wrap up the diaper on itself to throw it out? It might depend on this machlokas. As I point out, Rav Poskim are machmir on this issue. Just to point out a corollary issue would be using a Band-Aid on Shabbos, wrapping a Band-Aid around itself. If you want to use a Band-Aid on Shabbos and wrap the Band-Aid around itself, let's say on a finger, so that's considered to be a similar issue because the typical procedures when you're done with the Band-Aid is to just slide it off. Typically, when you have a Band-Aid on your finger, you slide it off and throw it out. So we don't have a temporary connection. And seemingly, it should be prohibited. There should be a problem of Malachos Tofer. I'm sticking the Band-Aid onto itself, which most posts can do say is a problem. But again, if we use this Merkavas HaMishnah argument, there could be a basis to permit it if you say that there's no davar shlishi, that the band-aid on itself, you're connecting the band-aid to the other part of the band-aid, there's no davar shlishi, there's no third connecting agent, it could be arguably permissible. So these are all, this is all nafkamina. Number one, we're having cases where there might not be a davar shlishi. The first nafkamina is, if I can connect two things without a davar shlishi, no connecting agent, just a band-aid on itself, a diaper on itself, would that be a problem of malachas tofer? So that could be a nafkamina in this machlokas. Dov. So Dov is saying, if someone puts the band-aid on with the intention to unpeel it, would that be permissible? So it could be, it would be permissible. It's not considered to be recommended just because the habit is to slide it off and you don't want to play those kind of games. That's why they recommend putting it on a spiral manner. You put the band-aid on a spiral so that it's not taped onto the band-aid itself, it's taped onto the skin, and that's clearly going to be taken off, and that will be a permanent, a temporary connection, which would be permitted. I just want to finish up, if you don't mind. So we're just going to keep going further. Dove looks disturbed, but okay, we gotta get to stitches. So fine. Okay, nafkamina number two. The second nafkamina is another shaila comes up in the poskim. The shaila comes in the poskim is like this: what's the halachic perspective of using butterfly band-aids on Shabbos? What is a butterfly band-aid? So a butterfly band-aid is a special band-aid that's designed in a way where it presses together the two ends of the wound. If you have a deep wound, let's say a person has a deep wound and you want to make sure that it doesn't scar, so you use a butterfly band-aid, it presses together the two ends of the wound and it helps make sure that the skin heals properly in a way that's going to mitigate scarring. That's the yesod of a butterfly band-aid. So the question becomes, what is the halachic perspective of using butterfly band-aids on Shabbos? So once again, we have a machlokes haposkim between Rav Eliashiv versus the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. Starting with the Shita of Rav Eliashiv, so the Nishmas Avram writes that he asked Rav Eliashiv the Shaila, what is the perspective of using butterfly band-aids on Shabbos? So Rav Eliashiv responded like this. This was his response. He said that some malachas on Shabbos don't apply to a person's body. We find certain malachas don't apply to the Gufa Adam, whereas other malachas do apply to a person's body. Says Rav Eliashiv, Topher is a suffix. It's unclear if Topher applies on a person's body, so it has to be treated as a suffix to Araisa. So says Rav Eliashiv, butterfly band-aids are a suffix to Araisa, which would only permit b'makom pikuach nefashos. So if there's a concern for infection, that a person's life is on the line, or sakanas eivra, whatever you want to call it, so then we would permit the use of a butterfly band-aid. Otherwise, it is a suffix to Araisa, and it is prohibited. That is the shita of Rav Eliashiv. Fine. So that is shita number one. The second shita is the shita of the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. The Shmir Shabbos is makel on the issue of butterfly band-aids. He permits using butterfly band-aids on Shabbos. Why is he makel on the issue of butterfly band-aids? So he says like this. He says that what does the butterfly band-aid do once again? It pushes together the two ends of the wound. Says the Shmir Shabbos, it's not really creating a deep connection between the two ends of the wound. All the butterfly band-aid does is it brings them next to each other, adjacent to each other, so that over time, the skin can heal on its own. The band-aid is not really creating the full connection between the two ends of the wound. It's just holding them next to each other so that over time, they can heal properly. And so therefore, says the Shmir Shabbos, that is going to be permissible. It is not a problem of Meleches Topher. So this is a shayla that comes up in the poskim, Machlokas a poskim. What's the halachic perspective on butterfly band-aids? Well, Yasha was machmir. He felt that it was a suvik deraisa of tofer because you're connecting the two sides of the wounds. Whereas the Shmir Shabbos was makel because he said it's not a real connection. When you push them next to each other, you're not really unifying them because they're just adjacent to each other. They're being held next to each other, but over time they're going to grow together, and that's the real connection that's taking place. And so that's not going to be a problem of lechas tofer. And so once again, the question becomes: what's the hesber in this machlokes? So this also seems to be an application of our two approaches for how to define Meleches Tofer. So let's go through the two approaches. Starting with the Shita of the Merkabas HaMishnah, he gave the simplistic definition of Tofer. It's about connecting two items with a Davar Shlishi, using a connecting agent to connect two items. If we take that simplistic approach, so the truth of the matter is that the Pashta should be a problem with butterfly band-aids. The Maisa, when you put this band-aid onto the wound, it's connecting the two ends of the wound. It's bringing them together. That's a connection in halacha. It should be a problem using this davar shlishi, using the Band-Aid to connect the two ends of the wound. That should be a problem on Shabbos. That would be a simple explanation for the shita of Rav Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv was machmir on the shayla of butterfly Band-Aids. I'm not saying that he had to hold like the Merkavitz Mishnah, but if you assume like the Merkavitz Mishnah, that'd be a very straightforward analysis of the shayla. You're connecting two different parts of the guf. That should be a problem of tofer. On the other hand, if we move over to the shita of Rav Moshe, that tofer is about unification, it's not just any act of connection. You need to unify the two items being connected. So now the Shmir Shabbos's argument comes to the forefront, because he's pointing out that when you use a butterfly Band-Aid, you're not really unifying the two ends of the wounds. All you're doing is holding them next to each other. They're adjacent so that over time they can become unified as the body naturally heals. But the Band-Aid itself is not unifying them. And so therefore, there's a strong argument to hold that this should be permissible. So this is a second nafkamina now in this machlokis. Using butterfly Band-Aids on Shabbos should very reasonably depend on this machlokis, Rekevus HaMishnah versus Rav Moshe. Now, I just want to end, Daniel, let me just finish up, then we'll hack it out. I just want to end with an interesting application of this last discussion, which is in terms of sewing stitches on Shabbos. If a person has a deep wound and there's a need to give him stitches on Shabbos, so what's the halachic perspective of stitches on Shabbos? So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos writes that stitches should only be done if there's a real chashash for sakaras nefashos. Once again, otherwise you should wait till after Shabbos. But stitches typically should be considered to be a problem of Melechas Tofer. But in the Shulchan Shlomo, so Shlomo Zalman analyzes the following shaila. This is the shaila that comes up in the Shulchan Shlomo. Let's say you have the following situation. Let's say a person gets a certain wound, and there really is a chashash for sakanas nefashos, for infection, whatever you want to call it, and we need to give the guy stitches in order to avoid that chashash is permissible on Shabbos. But let's say the case is like this. Let's say the case is where three stitches lamashal would be sufficient to close the wound in a way where you avoid the sakanas nefashos. Three stitches would be enough to make sure that there's no sakanas nefashos. But a surgeon during the week would typically do five stitches. Five stitches would be more aesthetic. It would be more, it'll create a nicer closing of the wound, but it's not necessary for the pikuach nefashos factor. So what would the halacha be in this case? Certainly it's permissible to do three stitches because it's sakanas nefashos. Can you do the extra two? Can you do five stitches in this situation? That's the shaila that Shlomo Zalman is addressing. So Shlomo Zalman says like this. He says that he basically permits this based on the following argument. Don't pass him based on the app. These are big posts from Shilas, but just to say what Shlomo Zalman says in the Shulchan Shlomo, he says like this. He says, the same reason that we permitted butterfly Band-Aids really applies to stitches. What was the whole reason why butterfly Band-Aids was permissible? Because all it's doing is just putting the two sides of the wound next to each other. It's not really unifying them. It just holds them next to each other as a placeholder so that the body can actually heal over time. Says the Shlomo Zalman, the same exact analysis applies to stitches. When a person sew stitches in a person's guf, what are you doing? You're just holding you're closing the wound, you're holding the two sides of the wound together so that the body can heal properly over time. That's what stitches are accomplishing. So it's in the same way that the butterfly Band-Aid is not unifying the two sides of the wound, stitches are also not unifying the two sides of the wound. Now, Shlomo Zalman says that I'm not willing to rely on this analysis to permit stitches in general, to permit the first three stitches, to permit stitches in general, I'm not willing to rely on this analysis. And so stitches should only be applied to makom pikuach nefashos. In the case where there's a concern for infection, pikuach nefashos, so then stitches are permissible. And if not pikuach nefashos, we're not gonna rely on this heter. But says Shlomo Zalman, in the case we described before, then I'm willing to rely on this spara. In a case where three stitches are necessary for pikuach nefashos, it's permissible to sew the three stitches. But now it's better, it's more efficient to do two more stitches, to do five stitches during the week. A surgeon would do five stitches. I'm willing to rely on this far in that situation, since there are other mitigating considerations. In that case, I'll let you do the extra two stitches, because anyways, it's not so clear that stitches really are a problem. They really should be like the butterfly Band-Aid, and stitches should be permissible. So that is Rav Shlomo Zalman's analysis of stitches on Shabbos. So with that, we've concluded the Malacha of Tofer. So let's just do a 30-second synopsis. Tofer was the malacha of sowing. We were trying to figure out what's the yisod of tofer. We had two approaches, the Merkabas and Mishnah, connecting two things with a third connecting agent. Whereas according to Rav Moshe, it was about unification. Our first nafkamina was safety pins or pins on Shabbos. Our second nafkamina was the issue of a diaper or band-aid on itself, where there's no davar shlishi. You tape a diaper on itself or a band-aid on itself. And our third nafkamina was the issue of butterfly band-aid and stitches, where you're, again, you're bringing them next to each other, but there's not a real unification. You're bringing the two sides of the wound next to each other through the sewing, through the stitches, through the band-aid, but there's not a real unification. Would that be permissible? Now, just to quickly finish off, just to point out, to finish off Malachas Tofer, that's using buttons on Shabbos and zippers on Shabbos, based on all of our analysis today, is going to be permissible. If you start off Malachas Tofer, so there's a shaila, why is it permissible to button a shirt or to zipper a jacket? So if you plug in the two approaches, you'll understand why that's permissible. I just wanted to get that in onto the recording. Next week in Mitzvah Hashem, we start Malachas Tzad. What about Velcro? Velcro is the same as buttons and zippers. Velcro, buttons, zippers are all permissible. If you plug in Rav Moshe and then Rekev submission, so they both apply. There's no unification and there's no davar shlishi. So that's why they're all permissible. Ace band is the metal thing. I'm not, okay, I got a Chazal Metzias before I pause good on that. Okay, fair question. We'll hack it out. Maybe describe it to you more afterwards and we'll talk. Daniel, you had a question if you want
to? Yeah, so two points. One,
or adjourned.
I'm struggling to understand Rav Yasha's opinion here. That where is this suffix coming from that we're questioning Tefira's application to human bodies? But even so, the way the Shemir Shabbos Hilchasa is presenting the Metzias, it's the Metzias, right? Like the Metzias is not in line with whatever lumdus is being applied to how we're describing Rav Yashiv. So
Rav Yashiv just struggling to understand that in some halachas applied to the Guf Adam, like bone, makapatish, popping a pimple could be makapatish, let's say. So some do apply. Other halachas we find don't apply to the Guf Adam. So Rav Yashiv apparently is just misupik about it. I don't know where he was coming from. He apparently was misupik about it. That was his, he just didn't know. The Shmir Shabbos apparently just didn't have that subik. He felt that Tofer, in principle, perhaps should have applied. He just has a different reason why it's mutter. He's not there because.
But despite the suffix, the Metzias, as Shmir Shabbos presented, would seem to preclude said suffix. Right? It is not connecting two things. It is only approximating. Sure.
I hear
it's
you're
only
saying.
Approximating the two things. So
they're starting Marv, Daniel. Call me or?
I'll try. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.